I would invite you to turn to John 15. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, it is on page 1147. We will read together this morning verses 9 through 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to your word, we know that that is the foundation upon which we stand, the truth by which we are to live our lives. May we hear, may we see, may we understand, and may we be challenged and encouraged to live loving you, loving one another. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. It's 3 a.m. on a cold winter day. Patchy snow covers the landscape as loudspeakers overhead blare, telling everyone to get to their places. Surrounded by sandbags, concrete barriers, and roughly 10,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, Bagram Air Base has flipped a switch and turned from a deployed city in sleep to a sea of green and tan military awaiting further direction. Some just woken from a few moments of sleep, others leaving their duties to attend to more pressing concerns, all focused on the events that are about to unfold. Down the 3-mile main road of this Afghanistan base, standing shoulder to shoulder, men and women in arms awaiting to pay their respects to a fallen comrade. Soon, the lights of emergency vehicles can be seen slowly making their way up the boulevard. Escorts leading a flatbed trailer to an awaiting C-17 cargo plane on its way back to the United States. On the trailer are 3 caskets draped in U.S. flags. And as the trailer approaches, the lines of servicemen lining the street, each pays their respects by saluting sharply the men and women who have paid the ultimate price. Once the trailer reaches the plane, the formation is dismissed. Thousands of servicemen in the middle of a war zone, paying homage and respect the best way they know how. Similar ceremonies are played out in other parts of the world, all to show the love and respect for the sacrifices and dedicated duty our military servicemen and women show on a daily basis. Memorial Day, as we've clearly expressed so far, is about remembering these fallen heroes and honoring their sacrifices on our behalf. Every conflict that we as a country have ever been involved in has had its share of casualties of both sons and daughters lost, often due to the unusual, or not so unusual, as the World War II quote said, uncommon valor was a common virtue, bravery they displayed in the midst of combat. Every once in a while during those conflicts, something happens. A soldier does something which is so out of the ordinary that Congress acknowledges it by awarding them the Medal of Honor. It is an award that is presented to someone who distinguishes themselves by gallantry at the risk of life above and beyond the call of duty. The deed performed must have been one of self-sacrifice so conspicuous as to clearly distinguish the individual above his comrades and must have involved risk of life. More often than not, these individual sacrifices themselves, or this individual sacrifices themselves for the greater good of others. Now, where there are many throughout history to choose from, one such individual was Douglas Albert Monroe. The Medal of Honor was awarded to Petty Officer Monroe as a result of his actions on September 27, 1942. Monroe, in charge of a group of 24 Higgins boats, yes, he was a Navy man, was engaged in the evacuation of a battalion of Marines trapped by enemy Japanese forces at Point Cruz, Guadalcanal. After making preliminary plans for the evacuation of nearly 500 beleaguered Marines, Monroe, under constant strafing by enemy machine guns on the island and at great risk of his life, daringly led five of his small craft toward the shore. As he closed the beach, he signaled the others to land, and then, in order to draw the enemy's fire and protect the heavily loaded boats, he valiantly placed his craft with its two small guns as a shield between the beachhead and the fire of the enemy. When the perilous task of evacuation was nearly completed, Monroe was instantly killed by enemy fire, but his crew, two of whom were wounded, carried on until the last boat had loaded and cleared the beach. By his outstanding leadership, expert planning, and dauntless devotion to duty, he and his courageous comrades undoubtedly saved the lives of many who otherwise would have perished. He gallantly gave his life for his country. There are many, many more such stories, but the picture is clear. Greater love hath no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Many men and women have put their lives in extreme danger for their comrades in arms, and in some cases gave their lives in order that others might live. It seems that in every war, in every battle, almost without exception, such heroic actions occur, sometimes from the individuals that you would least expect. I have no doubt that each time in the days and weeks that followed, the recipients of such unselfishness, unselfish devotion, unselfish sacrifice were inspired to fight for those who had fallen, those who had given their lives on their behalf, perhaps with a greater zeal than ever before. In a small Middle Eastern country, nearly 2,000 years ago, that's exactly what happened. See, a closer look at this hero, this individual, reveals some strong similarities to those that I just described, but also some significant differences. See, his name was Jesus, and he was the son of Joseph the carpenter, raised in Nazareth. The scriptures give us little to go on about his early life other than the familiar Christmas story, the visit of the Magi, and the time he went to the temple and scared his parents no end because he stayed when they left. After that, there's a significant jump forward to his adult life. Almost 25 years. He would have been about 8 at the temple. Ministry starts around 30, so 20, 25 years. When he was speaking to the Jews and, gasp, even the Gentiles, about what God intended and what was coming. Who would have expected such action as occurred at the end of his life from this man? The prophet Isaiah tells us that there was nothing about him physically which would have hinted at any possibility of heroics. Yet, like so many of our heroes of present day, he gave of himself. To begin with, Jesus put himself in harm's way. He endured pain and suffering for the benefit of others. He got between us and the enemy, Satan's fire. We read in Isaiah 53, "Surely he took up our infirmities, and he carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." And he did it willingly. He wasn't dragged to the cross, kicking and screaming and shouting and yelling. He did it willingly. He was oppressed and afflicted, Isaiah also writes, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Matthew records in his gospel, not once but twice, that Jesus responded to the pain and suffering that he knew was about to occur and that he knew he would need to endure for our benefit. "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." He went willingly on our behalf. He willingly endured this pain and suffering on behalf of his people to the point of death. Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." He sacrificed himself, but now the similarities diverge. Differences come into the story. Our comparison falls short because there are two distinct differences between the sacrifices that we remember this weekend as we celebrate Memorial Day and those who have fallen for our political freedoms and the one whom we should remember every day, Jesus Christ, who was felled for our spiritual freedom. First is the fact that when Christ made his sacrifice for us on our behalf, we were not his friends. We weren't even his countrymen who might have had some disagreements with him over some issues, but ultimately were citizens together. No, we were his enemies. Romans 5, 6 through 11 tells us, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die." It's what we've been talking about, right? "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners," that means we were enemies of God, "opposed to him, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies," there it is, "we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Christ died for those opposed to him to reconcile them to himself and make them brothers and sisters, children of God. That is what he did. Second, there is the enemy who was defeated. The men and women of the military put their lives in danger for the sake of their fellow soldiers, for the sake of other human beings. I think Jim said it's 1% for the 99, right? Well, you know, there's actually a parable in Scripture about that too, about going after the one, right? Jesus did the same thing, but the enemy he faced was far greater than any enemy that we face in this world, because it is a spiritual enemy. It is Satan, who roars about like a lion seeking to devour his prey. The battle that Christ waged was against something far more powerful and devastating, and the ultimate victory was not simply the taking of some important hilltop or strait or body of water, or even one country over another, but it was a victory which secured our very souls. The victory over the power of the devil and of sin in our lives, and ultimately the victory over death. In that victory, the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ, similar in some ways but different, like that of Douglas Munro, those who witnessed it were inspired by it. In his first letter, Peter, one of Jesus' lieutenants, if you will, the apostles, encouraged his readers with the lessons that he learned from his commanding officer, and I hope these sound familiar to you. 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Later in the letter, Peter's words of caution and encouragement speak to us all when he says, "Be self-controlled and alert." Here it is. "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering." There is a camaraderie in the spiritual battle and warfare that we face, just as there is a camaraderie within the military. And when you face fire with a brother or a sister in the service, we know that you are brothers and sisters forever. Nothing shakes that. We, as Christians, we who call upon the name of Christ, we are bound together as brothers and sisters in an inseparable way, and we are brothers and sisters forever. No matter where God's will or God's plan takes us throughout our lives, we know where we will end up, and we know that we will be celebrating together, and we will be singing the praises and glory of God the Father and Jesus Christ, the only reason that we will be there. Christ laid down his life for us on the cross that we might be free from the bondage and penalty of sin, just like the sacrifice of those who have laid down their lives in service to this country has had a real impact on our lives. We gather here right now. We speak the name of Christ in freedom. We're not arrested for preaching the gospel. We're not sitting in a prison awaiting trial because we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. The sacrifices that men and women in the military have made allow us to be free in this country. So too also Christ's sacrifice has a real impact when we accept and receive him, when we acknowledge the work of the cross, that we cannot do anything on our own. We are enemies of God. We need a savior. We are pinned down without a weapon, not able to put our head out of the foxhole, until Christ comes along and makes a way and rescues us only through him. We cannot do it on our own. But when we accept that, when we acknowledge that, when we receive that and we take that into our hearts and we claim him as Savior and we acknowledge him as Lord, everything changes. The story is told of one soldier who lived with that confidence even as he found himself in the heat of battle. During the Korean War, one man was hurt badly on the battlefield of Heartbreak Ridge. His buddies were in a foxhole about 50 yards away when the man was hit by sniper fire in an ambush. As the fire continued, the other men discussed amongst themselves what to do, but since the sniper fire was too intense to crawl out and bring back their wounded buddy, they knew if they left the safety of the foxhole, it would mean certain death. For a while, no one would move. The men in the foxhole could hear their wounded friend calling for help. Then one of the men in the foxhole began to look intently at his own watch. He couldn't keep his eyes off of it. All the others in the foxhole noticed this and began to ask questions, but the soldier with the watch remained silent. All of a sudden, the man with the watch jumped up out of the foxhole and crawled over to his wounded buddy. He then grabbed him by the nape of the collar and very slowly made his way back to the foxhole, all the while sniper fire buzzing around the both of them. Amazingly, they made it back to the foxhole without additional injury. After the sniper fire had died down, the man who saved his buddy was asked why he waited so long to crawl after his wounded friend, to which he responded, "My mom said every day at the exact same time she would be praying for me. According to my watch, I left the foxhole exactly when she started praying." Now, we may not always receive answers to prayer in such a dramatic fashion. And sometimes, even though our prayers may also involve physical protection or even the sparing of life, they may seem to go unanswered. But we have God's promise that the ultimate victory in this world, the one which guarantees us eternity with him, is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we go forth, let me encourage you to remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy today. At the same time, give thanks to God also. He is the one whom we worship. For Jesus Christ and his willingness to not cling to his, though he was God, to not cling to his prerogatives as God, but to empty himself, to come down, to live as a man, to go to the cross, to die for our sins. Because his commitment is what brings our spiritual freedom and our eternal salvation. And so be confident in your daily faith battles. Crawl out of the foxhole. Go rescue others from the enemy, knowing that you are equipped by God to be that faithful warrior that makes a difference in the world around you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for the benefit of another. Slightly different wording. The need for a military force will likely never disappear while we live in this world, for it is fallen and broken. The need for protection is there. The enemy prowls about, seeking to devour his prey. We live in a country where there is a military which stands up for others to protect our rights and our privileges that we get to express today. And so it is appropriate for us to remember that it is through soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen, little inside military joke there, that we have the luxury of unprecedented freedoms on earth. We especially remember their sacrifice and the privileges of the life we now live this weekend. But never forget this. Only Christ's sacrifice can grant the spiritual freedom that brings eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that though we rebelled against you, though we failed time and time and time and time and time and time and time again, as children are wont to do, your faithfulness is never ending. Your patience is incredibly long. And you are a God of forgiveness. You made a way in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, those of us who see Christ, who know Christ as Savior and Lord, we proclaim a loud thank you. But Lord, if there is anyone here who has not heard the voice of the Spirit, who has not surrendered to the work and the prompting and the calling of their heart, Lord, may they recognize the need for a Savior. May they claim the cross, the work done there, the victory, the freedom, the grace, the love, the forgiveness. And may they receive Christ into their heart as Savior and as Lord. It's so simple. All we have to do is say, I cannot do it alone. I am a sinner. I need Christ. I accept Christ. I receive Christ. It's that simple. Lord, thank you. And may your Spirit work in us, building up in us your love, that we may go forth and love others to whatever degree is necessary, that they may come to know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the ways, I don't know if you've thought about it this way, but one of the ways we express our love for others is through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Why? How, you say? Because that is what helps us as a particular church do the work of the kingdom, proclaim that there is greater love, there's no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and Christ laid down his life for us. That is the message we proclaim. And we express our gratitude with our thanksgiving and our worships, our tithes and our offerings. We obey with our tithes and our offerings. We celebrate God loves a cheerful giver with our tithes and our offerings. And we love God and one another in the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us worship now.